Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
The Bert Show.
So Wendy told us this story about Jennifer Love Hewitt and her boyfriend.
Yeah, her and Jamie Kennedy broke up apparently over the weekend, but sources are saying it's been several months, but she was holding out for this book that she has coming out called The Day I Shot Cupid, and presumably we're going to find out why they broke up. But yeah, she held off for several months on announcing their breakup until this past weekend when the book comes out this week.
Just so they could promote the book
of
when
course.
It came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it occurred to us that there's got to be other people who've held on to. Melissa brought up, well, I'm not going to announce my divorce 3 months before my sister gets married.
Right.
Like that type of situation.
Right. You don't take attention away.
Maybe you're up for a big promotion at work and you don't want to tell your boss that you're going through a divorce because then he might say, well, you're not, you
mm-hmm.
know, you're going to be focused on other things.
Right.
So 404-741-Q100. We're looking for two interesting angles. One, why'd you keep it a secret, your breakup? Mm-hmm. And two, how long were you able to keep it a secret for?
Because this one was several months, so I'm assuming three.
Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
What's going on?
I kept it a secret for 2 months from my mom just because she was a soldier in Afghanistan. She's home now.
Okay.
But I didn't want to upset her with that, so I kept it a secret. It's just weird now because now she's home, and for her, it's like a less amount of time that we've been split.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already seeing someone else, and it doesn't feel right to her.
Right. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So she never had the breakup time.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Were you
were
you married, or was this a divorce? Yeah. Or
we were just engaged.
Okay.
Engaged. Okay. Oh. That makes total sense. Yeah. If I had a parent, or even if it was a sibling, or mm-hmm. somebody deployed, yeah, you don't want to give them any more stress than they are already under, you know?
Right. Hey, Cam, how are you?
Great.
Good. What are we talking about here? A divorce? A separation?
Well, it's a divorce, but it's not me. My brother-in-law and his wife divorced probably close to 21 years ago.
Okay.
And they were probably separated or divorced for probably a year or so when they got back together.
Mm-hmm.
And they since had a child, and the child's probably close to 20 years old, but it's like 21 years later, and they live together, but they are still not married, but everyone refers to them as married, and my in-laws and her mm-hmm. parents, and no one knows that they divorced except for a few friends
mm-hmm.
and a couple of family members.
I just clear a little confusion. When you say your brother-in-law's wife, is that not your sister?
No, it's my husband's brother.
Your husband's brother.
Okay, that was
there
the
first second. I was like,
me and Melissa stared at each other. Wouldn't that be your sister?
No.
Okay.
No, but both sets of parents really didn't agree with divorce, and
mm-hmm.
So they never told their parents, and only a few friends knew, and my husband knew, and and I knew them for years, and I was married to my husband and in the family when he finally told me, and I was so amazed, but mm-hmm. you know, so, but I mean, and they still live together to this day, so I guess legally they're considered married, but they never officially remarried.
Right.
Hey, we just pretend the divorce didn't happen.
Yeah,
you know, if we never talk about it, we never look at it, it's
mm-hmm.
not really
Well,
there.
What's funny is that they're probably more relaxed
mm-hmm.
that they're not married.
Hey, Haley, welcome to the show.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Haley.
Oh, I'm so excited. well, my parents not delayed, but they didn't tell my great-grandmother about their divorce for like 8 months, and then they got remarried after she passed away.
Oh, really?
So they never told her?
Yeah. Nope, they never told her that they were divorcing or anything.
What was the reasoning?
You said they got remarried.
Yeah, they did the next year.
Well, it's good that they didn't then, because I'm assuming they didn't tell her, because why upset somebody who's 350 years old?
Exactly,
right.
She was close to that, but
right, and then she ends up passing away, and they get remarried. It's almost like a way to ruin grandma's last year.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks
for the call. Happy now, so.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
All these people getting back together.
Hey, I know there's a lot of goodness.
I want somebody to stay apart.
Hey, Hannah, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hi.
What's going on?
I found out during a college project where I was doing some stuff with my family tree,
mm-hmm.
My grandmother blurted to me accidentally that she had divorced my pawpaw like years before, And he had passed away when I found out, and nobody knew in the family except for my mother, and there's three other kids in the family, and then she accidentally told me, so I knew. But it had been like 20 years or something, and nobody knew that they had divorced. And they did it to qualify for a grant to build a house.
So it was 20 years since their divorce when she blurted it out to you, but nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
So were they still living together?
Yeah, they still lived together and did everything like normal. They just did it so they could like have separate finances to qualify for this one program to build their house.
Wow. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
It's a good reason, though.
Hey, Mike, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Hey, thank you.
My grandma and my grandpa divorced each other when my father was 5 years old and kept it from him and the entire family until he was 20.
Really?
What was the reasoning behind that?
They just didn't want them to know that they were divorced. They slept in the same bed, lived in the same house, didn't even date other people.
I think older generation, I could see where, because all these stories about grandparents, I mean, if you didn't believe in divorce and you don't want anybody to know and you don't want the community to know, then I could see where but that's, talk about miserable life.
No disrespect.
But I think the pointed question is, why bother just going through the divorce if you're still going to live together and stay in the same room and not date anyone?
You're kind of still together.
Yeah. Hey, Erica, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hey. Basically, my situation is my parents live in another state, and they came down when I got married. We have a 3-year-old son, and we got separated about 2 years ago, and my parents still do not know. So,
are you living together?
No.
Are you seeing other people?
Yes.
Okay.
And why haven't you told your parents?
Basically, my parents are Catholic, so the whole divorce thing, I mean, I'm eventually going to have to tell them.
Yes.
Yeah, you think?
but I just quite haven't gotten around it. I mean, there's been a lot of health issues with them, both of them. They're elder, and over the past 2 years, so I just haven't found the right moment. And it's not like he was really involved with them anyway. I mean, they came down for the wedding, and they've only met him, like, because they're so far away. He came home for Christmas, like, 2 or 3 years. And, I mean, they ask about him when I talk to him, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's fine. But, you know.
When you do tell them, will you tell them that it's been 24 months, or will you just say, like, it just happened?
I probably will not tell them it's been that long, no.
Well, I would suggest, I mean, are you seeing anybody else seriously now?
No.
Because that you have to be careful about using that as a reason to tell them, because if you're not going to say it's been this long, mm-hmm. you at least have to tell them in enough time for them to, you know,
right.
have time
yeah.
between
no, I mean,
him
I've,
and somebody
I've,
else.
I'm seeing someone, but it's not serious, and I know that he's seeing someone just now, started seeing another person. And we have a 3-year-old, so we kind of, we already have visitation set up, and he has his days and I have mine. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's gone pretty smoothly. So I'm just going to have to kind of come out one day and be like, well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you make that decision, what you'll need to do is call the Bird Show up and share it with
us.
Little, you know, the day before you're going to do it, and then the day after. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Good listener.
Bye. The Bird Show. The Bird Show.
The caller, Emily, who is joining us right now. Good morning, Emily. I'm the voice disguiser, by the way. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you doing?
Good. Emily got a more serious butt dial.
Okay.
My cousin, who's 17, accidentally called me about 10 o'clock one night. And in the background, you hear him talking about marijuana and rolling up some weed and being out of joints. I don't know what they were out of, but... Anyways, I was just wondering if I should call her out on it or not.
Well, who in the phone conversation does it sound like she's talking to? Is it like a friend or?
Well, yeah, there's another guy in the background I didn't recognize, and then there was my 14-year-old cousin.
Oh,
so she's discussing it.
She did it in front
of
the 14-year-old?
Yeah, they were all there.
Was the 14-year-old participating?
That I'm not sure of. Knowing him, probably.
Were they actually smoking, or were they just talking about it and maybe a friend's doing it?
That I don't know, because it went, after a couple minutes of them talking about rolling it up, mm-hmm. It went blank. I guess, I don't know if they left the room, because she obviously had her phone on the counter.
Yeah, I would definitely talk to her, but I would take her aside one-on-one.
Now,
right. yeah, I didn't want to, like, call, like, confront her, but, you know, like, acting like I'm trying to be hard, you know, but, I mean, I don't have
being
an
adult.
Mom works at night.
There's no yeah, being an adult, she's still a kid, mm-hmm. so, I mean, I don't think you're being hard on talking to her about being in front of a 14-year-old talking about marijuana.
Right.
You know?
Now, who approaches her, though? Does she go, or does she go to mom?
No.
She goes to
her by herself.
I don't want to do that.
No, you go to the teenager, and you talk one-on-one. Look, we got to talk for a second.
Definitely, we're the 14-year-old.
Okay, so, and how old are you?
27.
So you're 27, so mm-hmm. the 27-year-old cousin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
27-year-old cousin goes to talk to the 14-year-old, doesn't bring mom into it.
No, talking to the 17-year-old who butt-dialed her.
Okay, talks to the 17-year-old, doesn't bring mom into it.
Mm-hmm.
A year from now, this is a bigger problem. The 27-year-old's known about it and never told mom.
Well, she needs to figure out the problem first before even talking to mom, because who knows what they were discussing or if they were even doing anything. Or if they're talking about a friend.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think it'll be more effective for that 17-year-old if the 27-year-old cousin says, look, I got to put you aside and you've got to straighten this up.
Mm-hmm.
More so than the mom.
Say if you don't quit, then it's going to become an issue with the parents.
But how are you going to know if they quit? See, I think I'm on the other side of this. I think you as the older cousin, I think you have to go to the parents. I think you can go to the kid first and go, look, this is what you did, and this is what I just want to let you know.
Well, yeah, the problem with that is their dad's not there and their mom works at night, and it's not real been much of a parent to them. So, I don't know how that would.
See, that's where mm-hmm. I'm coming from, is that I feel like if something is, because that's kind of extreme,
mm-hmm.
then that's a reaction to something going on. So that's why I say she goes to 17-year-old and try to, because I think if I was 17 and my 27-year-old cousin came to me because I had busted myself by butt dialing,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm embarrassed by it. I mean, she's, of course, not your responsibility, but she's a family member. You take her side. And then, I'm not opposed to her you saying, look, and I'm going to have to go to your mom with this. If you don't stop this right now. But my biggest concern, more so than the 17-year-old, is the 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, is just saying you cannot. I mean, how can she bring the 14-year-old into this?
Right. Well, that kind of bothered me.
Go ahead.
I said, and it could be a whole lot of legal trouble, because if they're in a household that is growing it, if you said that they're growing it or they're doing it in a house,
I don't think they're that smart.
That could be, they could get busted for that in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Or they could just get busted at the house and mm-hmm. then get their mom arrested.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, Mike, do you do anything else that's parenting-wise with them? Like you said, the mom works nights or whatever. Like, do they ever come to you for rides to places or anything
No, she's got her own car. She knows that she can talk to me if she needs to. It's not saying that she has before. But I hang out with her and try to be there when they need it. But they're very, the past year really kind of changed. You know, they used to be real outgoing and want to hang out. Now they're like, won't ever call you back or don't want to see anybody and just kind of act real strange. I don't know what's going on with them.
Hold on, we'll get some advice from you from Bird Show listener Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Lisa?
Hey, how are you?
Yes, hello.
Oh, somebody is not happy with you being on the phone with Q100 right now.
I'm sorry?
I just heard a baby screaming in the background or something. How are you?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. That's my 2-year-old.
What's going on?
Yes, I just had some advice for the caller.
Sure,
yeah,
go ahead.
I went through this with my brother, who is 17 years younger than I am. I'm 35.
Uh-huh.
And he had a friend that was into some really bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to my parents. And he did not speak to me for a while.
Did you go to him first, though?
He actually was the one who told me about the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I didn't go to him because I thought it was my responsibility the way he spoke about it, he was speaking about it as the guy was a drug dealer, and he was sort of almost bragging about how the guy was getting away with this at school, mm-hmm. and how, authority, the authority figures in his life were all snowed, and
right.
I just knew that, his attitude was sort of,
it was serious.
I'm trying to say.
Serious enough.
His attitude, he was sort of romanticizing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see, my point about going to a 17-year-old is 1 year away from what you, from what a lot of people consider an adult.
Well, so legally an adult.
Correct. And so that's what I'm saying is like, you know, you can't treat them like they're 10 at one moment and then say you got to be out on your own. That's why, right, I say you go to the 17-year-old and you say, I'm giving you the opportunity first to straighten this out. But if you, you know, and then check, and then you got to still be involved in her life and then check back in and then say, or I'm going to your mom. Your mom has to know about this if you don't straighten this up, because you're exposing the 14-year-old to it. And that's absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. A 17-year-old still is a 17-year-old and they need an adult, you know, to come in and talk to them. Mm-hmm. But if you just leave them on their own, I don't know. I just feel like she might listen to you more so than a mom coming home and, you know, punishing her immediately.
Yeah, hey, Mary, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hi. A friend of mine actually does this. Go to the drugstore, get some urine test, and tell both the 14-year-old and the 17-year-old that they have to do a urine test. And if they refuse it, then you'll go straight to mom. And then tell them that randomly you'll come along and do another urine test. And anytime they test positive, you're going to mom.
And
well, I mean, seriously, like, if you know, to me, I don't think it's harsh. I think if you go to the 17-year-old, say you have a chance to stop this, then the urine test is the second conversation you have.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to mom.
That would have to be the second conversation, not the first. Yeah. Because not the first confrontation.
Guys, the reality is, if they get busted with this by school, by police officers, by other parents, they're not going to get 1, 2, 3 chances. Well, they get one.
When also the 14-year-old shouldn't be smoking pot. So you don't even know if the 14's smoking pot or not. You know?
Well, legally, the 17-year-old.
You give them a urine test to find out.
The 17-year-old shouldn't be either.
Well, legally, a 40-year-old shouldn't
right,
be.
But right, but I'm saying, like, right, you can't. I feel like you're making it the 14-year-old is the big problem here. The reality is,
that's what I think,
the 17-year-old is still a minor, still living at the parents' house, gets busted for it. The mom is the one. Mom can get in trouble for that.
But it should be the same with alcohol.
And legally, I almost wonder if, well, it is the same with alcohol. Like, if you're under 21 and you're in parents' care and you get in trouble,
the adult gets in trouble. But I don't think our attitude toward it would be the same. If a 17-year-old got busted with beer, then we wouldn't be like, well, go straight to the mom with this, you know. We would say, no, just tell them to, you're going to have to just.
No, I think I would. Know? Because my thing is, from a legal point of view, just a basic legal point of view, the mom is still responsible for that 17-year-old. And I think by this cousin knowing about it, and if the cousin handles it without bringing the mom into it, I'm wondering what sort of legal liability she's putting herself under.
If she doesn't possess anything, she won't have any legal liability. I just think that I'm trying to be realistic from a teenager standpoint, that she comes in as somebody who's older but not a parent and tries to start the conversation, but if it doesn't work, then go to the parent. I think I'm just trying to be realistic from teenagers.
Realistic, but then I'm just from a purely logical point of view.
You're absolutely right.
If she doesn't say anything to the mom and the 17-year-old gets high and burns the house down, say, chance of it happening is 1%. But if it does,
right,
then this woman might have some legal responsibility, or at least that's the end of the family. Hey, Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, good. Hold on. I'm going to get you off the voice disguiser. Okay, go ahead, Taylor.
I'm a younger cousin and I'm an older cousin.
Okay.
And I have to say, I feel that the cousin should just speak with the teenager, the 17-year-old, only because even if she goes to the mother, who's to say it's going to be able to do anything? The mother works nights. So she's not going to be able to monitor her child as if she were to work days. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the cousin could still take her younger cousin of confidence and be like, look, this isn't right. You're a bad influence on your younger brother. Da, 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 da. But as a younger cousin, I feel I would respect my older cousin for coming to me like an adult and being like, look, we need to cut to the chase. This is what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? At least give her the opportunity to show herself as an adult, show herself as a role model. And then if she decides, like, oh, well, then that's when you take it to another level. But still give that person the opportunity to be the adult that she's about to become. You can't always run to mom. What's going to happen when she does turn 18?
Right.
I mean, her mom could sit here and say what? Oh, okay, stop smoking. But who's to say she's going to stop? And, yeah, the mom doesn't. I mean, I had a juvenile record. My mom wasn't liable for if I screwed up. I went to juvenile hall, not my mom. You know what I'm saying? So she gets caught with pot, she's going to be the one to go to jail, not her mom.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it seems like your cousin needs the guidance, too, especially if mom's not around during the day. She could probably use somebody to talk to and probably, I mean, she's getting into recreational activities because there is nobody there. So maybe if you step in and just have that time to talk to her even during the week, like once a week, I mean, this might not go on either.
Yeah, I figure she'd been more honest with me than if I went to her mom.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that it's end up going to be both. Mm-hmm. But, my suggestion is to talk to her first and let her know what happened. And then she got busted.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Casey, you'll be the last phone call we take. Go ahead, Casey.
I just want to say I'm a parent of a 17-year-old, uh-huh. and I was a single mom for many, many, many years. Uh-huh. And he does smoke pot. She needs to give the parent the benefit of the doubt. This is a lot more serious than what you guys are giving it credit for. You're saying that the caller said that the nephew was withdrawn and not acting the same. Those are symptoms of smoking pot. Who's to say when you go and talk to her, if you don't hang out with her on a regular basis, she is not going to be honest with you guys. She is going to lie, and she is going to keep doing it.
But what about the symptom of the fact that she has no parents around? So by mm-hmm. going to the parents, that doesn't change her home situation, but by being
well, you're talking about a parent. Yeah, she's not around, but that doesn't mean she doesn't care and she's not doing the best she can.
No,
you need to give her the heads up that, hey, maybe she doesn't have a clue. Maybe she didn't smoke pot and she doesn't know to look for things. If she's there even during the day, or she can look out if the kids are skipping school, or if they're, you know, not getting good grades, you need to talk to both of them. I don't think you should just talk to the kid. The kid is going to lie.
She's not going
to, especially if they want to do drugs.
I don't think she's going to lie to the cousin. You know, I think she'll lie to the mama.
Yeah, she can't lie. Well, it's on voicemail. She's got it on record. I mean, she's got the entire conversation.
She can lie and say, oh, yeah, we tried it and we didn't like it. No, I won't do it anymore.
She would say the same thing to the mama.
I ever expected to even try something like that, because we've had a lot of experience with it in my family, and he's the biggest advocate for it.
But who's to say, like Melissa's trying to say, who's to say she's not going to lie to her mom?
She would lie to her mom too.
Right, but her mom is the one who is accountable for that child.
Yeah.
She deserves the chance. I agree with Jeff. She deserves the chance, and it's her responsibility to let that parent know. And then she can still stay on top of the niece, or still do the best she can to be in her life and try to help her. But the parent deserves the right to know as well. She needs to be given the heads up, and if she wants to look for the signs, she can. She's there with them every day. She's the one the school's going to call. She's the one that's going to be there when the kids are failing, and she doesn't know why. I think. Definitely the mom needs to know.
I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. From a parent's perspective, you mm-hmm. want the parent to know, but I just think, let's not all forget what it was like to be a teenager.
Right, but I think, Melissa, you would be the first one, if you had a 17-year-old who was doing anything shady, whether it was drugs, whether it was sneaking out and using your car, whether it was whatever, doing something while you came in here and did the morning mm-hmm. radio show, because you'll definitely be doing this in 20 years when you might have a 17-year-old.
Crap. Yeah, I mean, yes, of course.
So doing that, I couldn't even imagine how infuriated you would be if a cousin or someone else mm-hmm. in your life took it upon themselves to handle an issue with your child.
A 17.
And didn't tell you about it.
You're wrong. A 17-year-old that's about to graduate mm-hmm. high school, if my sister or their cousin came to them and said, you better straighten up before mom finds out, you know what? That's being a teenager.
And I
would be mad at the child, but I wouldn't be mad at the family member for trying to intervene in our family.
Right, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't help?
If it doesn't help, they come to me. That's what I told her to do. I did not tell her not to go to the mom. I told her to go to the mom if the child didn't straighten up. But if a 17-year-old screwing up, she's not going to straighten up in 1 year.
Yeah.
She's not.
We have to agree to disagree, because I think, number one, I think that you
running straight to the parent is not going to cure her of pot.
I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. But I think as a parent, until that kid is 18, and then while you're still paying their bills, you are entitled to know. So,
she may
Emily,
not be entitled.
Glad to help. 50, you are. You are entitled.
Maybe it's not this parent.
It's not an option. It's not a maybe this parent, maybe not this parent. Carl.
My only advice was to go to the 17-year-old first and say, look, you just got busted, honey, and you got to decide what you're going to do. And that's all I said. I didn't say not to go to the parent eventually.
I love it when Carl walks in here. Emily, glad to give you some advice that's 50-50. As we always do on the show. Carl, please agree with me.
I go through this all the time. I got a bunch of nephews, and we're going through the same thing. Actually, right now, my advice to you would be is I go to my sister. I tell my sister what's going on, but I tell her, how do you think that she wants me to handle it? So I'll go to my sister, tell her that, you know, your son is doing whatever. What do you think the best way I should handle the situation? And so I'll bump ideas off of her. And if it doesn't sound like something that I think will be beneficial, like, because like you said, Melissa, going to the parents, he's not going to stop doing it. Matter of fact, he's like, whatever. So I normally go to my sister and ask her how she would think to handle it.
Carl, scale of 1 to 10, how mad would you be if somebody in your family handled something serious with your kids and never told you about it?
Oh, I'm pissed, man. I definitely need to know. Let me know and let me be the one to fight.
But the parent also needs to take the responsibility for the fact that they're teenagers alone and doing pot because they're not there.
Right.
Totally.
So as long as the parent understands one of the reasons your child is the way they are is because of you, then everything's fine.
Doesn't matter if we're all here or half of us are gone, we still get you advice that's right down the middle. 50-50.
The Bird Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Get it? The Bird Show.
We just got into a topic based on a butt dial.
Mm-hmm.
Butt dials are often funny. Sometimes they're serious. This one was serious. Mm-hmm. A girl got butt dialed by her cousin, and her cousin was clearly playing with the Mary Jane.
At least talking about it.
Talking about it.
I mean, she wasn't clear if she was actually smoking at the time, but the cousin's 27. She got butt dialed by her 17-year-old cousin, who was in a discussion with another guy. She's a girl, 17-year-old girl, in a discussion with the guy about marijuana. And then, you know, that's serious enough. But the other serious part of that is the 14-year-old sibling was in the conversation. So she came to us and asked us what she should do. And I think it was a really good debate. But Jeff's position was go straight to mom and let her know what's going on. And my position was go to the 17-year-old first, give her the opportunity to straighten up. And then if she doesn't, then go to the mom.
And I completely agree with Melissa's viewpoint on that.
Now, we're not as far apart as I thought we were because I'm not opposed to going to the 17-year-old first and having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. But because the child is 17 years old and because the child is legally a minor, regardless of how involved the parent may or may not get, I think you still have an obligation to tell the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do it pretty quickly after you talk to the 17-year-old. Like, hey, I just want to let you know, last week I heard this, yesterday I did this, and here's where it stands today.
Mm-hmm. My big concern is the 14-year-old, though. That's where I'd be a little more stern about how I'm going to, you know, how I'm going to handle it with the 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Amy wants to weigh in on this, and she might be a little fired up because she's on her way to court right now because of her son.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
What's going on?
Kind of struck a nerve this morning, huh?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm on the way right now to a sentencing hearing for my 20-year-old who started smoking pot at the age of 16 and moved to pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, I just heard him say that the child is still a minor at 17. Well, in the eyes of the law, he's not a minor. He is now an adult and will be charged as such if caught with any sort of drugs.
What age what age does that change? Is it 17 or 16?
It's 17.
17, okay.
Didn't know that. We've been dealing with this for 3 years, but it went on for 2 years before I ever knew about it. Mm-hmm. However, people all around me knew about it.
Like family members?
Family members, very good friends, neighbors. By the time I found out about it, he was so far gone that there was nothing that I could do. He had moved from pain pills to heroin.
I mean, see that I think that's a little. I mean, not.
I know it's a little. I know it doesn't happen a lot, but now that I've dealt with this, I have seen it happen a lot, and you know, I know there's a big controversy about pot being a gateway drug and so forth. But most people start with pot. They don't go straight from nothing to, you know, pain pills or. And this was a child that was. There were no signs.
Well,
I was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He never missed school. straight-A student, scholarships coming at him like crazy for sports. So there were no signs.
Well, I what I was going to say is it's different, but it's not. I mean, I think your call is very important because I do think that it is, because I totally disagree with everybody knowing and not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my point was to have one conversation with that 17-year-old, and that's all it took. And if that one conversation didn't work, then the parent gets involved. And the fact that neighbors and everybody knew that he was doing pills and he was doing, you know, all these other things, mm-hmm. that's just ridiculous. And I think that, yes, there's a controversy about pot being a gateway drug. I think I disagree with you. Most people start with pot. I think most people start with alcohol.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and no, you know, in my position earlier was that I think that a lot of people would have been had a different opinion of this call if the butt dial was about her getting drunk.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Most certainly. But see, I don't know, because that was never an issue. He still doesn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
So that's never been an issue.
Right.
Because these kids, they do what they can get away with. And I've learned a lot. And believe me, probably 60 to 70% of our children in high school are doing some sort of pain pill or Xanax or anything like that, because they can get away with it. They can go to school like that. They can function like that. Well, you just don't smell it.
Right. One last question. What would your advice be to that cousin that called us? What would you tell her to do?
I would tell her to go to the 17-year-old, tell him that she knows, and say, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but I think your mom needs to know, is this a problem for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then go to the mother and say, you know, I want you to know this just so you're aware. If nothing else, just so she's aware to look out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do something so terrible that she can't stop it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to phrase it. Well, I appreciate the call and I appreciate mm-hmm. the insight. I'm just sorry on how you got it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Listen, I'm a recovering addict myself, mm-hmm. and I'd just like to comment on the caller that got the problem with the 17-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Everything started out with me probably the same way, and I just believe that if somebody had intervened, whether it had been, you know, my mom or a cousin or something coming to me, you know, at an early age, that it would have, you know, I mean, I'm in recovery now, but I'm doing good now. But
what's the magic sentence? Like, if it's your cousin and your cousin found out the same way mm-hmm. by overhearing a conversation, what sentence could she or he say to you at age 17? Because one thing I do agree with Melissa about is 17-year-olds know it all, so they're
correct.
not gonna say, "Oh,
right.
you want me to stop?"
You're
okay.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I agree with both sides, you know, I agree with her side and your side, but I think, you know, if I was the cousin, I probably would go to him or her and say, you know, you need to stop what you're doing, but, you know, I don't care if you get mad at me or whatever, I'm going to your mom with this, you know, because, I mean, I know that, you know, people look at alcohol is not that big of a problem. Weed's not that big of a problem. But, you know, it can turn into a lot greater problem than what people think it can. And it happens very quickly. So, you know, and I mean, I had good, you know, parents growing up. And I mean, you know, and I was always a good, you know, and mine didn't really start, you know, until I was 16, 17 years old. And then it just took off from there. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just believe that, you know, somebody, you know, should intervene. And I think it should be taken as more serious than just them going to them and saying, look, you need to stop this, whatever. Because, I mean, chances are if they're at home alone or whatever, they're going to, you know, they may listen to it, but when they get back around their friends or whatever, they're going to start doing it again.
Right.
So.
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Yeah, and congratulations on your recovery.
Hey, John, you can be our second last call on the show. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I just wanted to weigh in. Uh-huh. Not only am I a parent of a 17-year-old and two 14-year-olds, I'm also a therapist. I work with addicted individuals. And, you know, with all respect to Melissa, you're not a parent, And this is a huge issue. This is not a small, insignificant thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a kid that's involved in this kind of activity, even casually, and is sitting around with a friend discussing, you know, the need for more, or we're running out, we need to buy more, that kind of, that's not a casual thing. That's a huge issue, and by all means, mom has got to know. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to the kid first, but you need to go to the kid and say, look, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to mom.
Well, with all due respect, Jeff's not a parent either. our opinions are valid.
From the standpoint of, number one, a parent, but also a therapist, the other thing, you know, and I know that this is kind of in touch on, this is an illegal act, like the mom said a few minutes ago. Trust me, I've got a son who's involved in the legal system right now with charges pending, and somebody said a while ago, well, the parent won't be held liable just because the kid has pot. Not true. Not true. If they've got it in the house, the parent is liable.
But what if it's with this parent that doesn't sound like they're very involved in the child's life? What if it's a parent that just doesn't care? I mean, cousin's got to do something.
There's always that possibility. Always. Whether a parent is a stay-at-home mom like the other lady, or no matter what the work schedule of the parent, there's always a possibility they're not going to be involved in the kid's life, or they're going to take it very casually. But still, you've got to approach it as seriously as you can possibly approach it, because it is an illegal act. And trust me, if that 17-year-old gets arrested at school for pot and gets, they're not going to juvenile court, they're going to superior court. And when they go to superior court, that's going to be on their record for every day the rest of their life. Every time they try to fill out a job application, it's going to say, have you ever been convicted, you know, of a drug charge? And they're going to have to check yes, and they're very likely not going to get a job because of that. It's a huge, huge issue.
Thanks for the call, John.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Therapist. You're not a parent.
I'm not a parent, so I have no valid opinion. But you're not a parent either, Jeff. But
yeah,
he agreed with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but I agreed with me. He agreed with me. So
I can't stand that
while
phrase.
Melissa and I do disagree, I am...
But I think
it does frustrate me when people say, well, you can't give advice.
God, you're not
because
a parent.
Like, my advice is not coming from a parenting point of view. Mine's just a very practical point of view.
And yeah, you're coming from the teenager's point of view.
Yeah, you're a guardian, and the guardian of that kid needs to know if that kid's doing something illegal. I don't have to be a parent to say that.
And I totally respect what Jeff was saying. I mean, if that's what ends up happening, I'm not opposed to that. But, that will spawn another conversation, because I've talked about how Katie and I are considering children and freezing my eggs and all that stuff. The thing that keeps me from wanting to be a parent is other parents.
And can't you go ahead and say that you are a parent? Because if your eggs are frozen,
frozen yet, but they will be here in a few weeks.
You have little popsicle kids.
Yeah, so I'm in the process. We've got to talk about that, too. I'm in the process of getting that done, which is very fascinating.
Cool.
Other parents scare me. It's not the kids. It's having to involve my life now with other parents. And
really?
You know, I'll just go ahead and say there's two different types of parents. There's the parents that...
There's good ones and bad ones.
Well, there's the condescending kind, and then there's those that are just human beings, and they're the same human beings after they have a child that they were before they had the child. And, you know, I understand the severity of it. I understand the responsibility of it, and I'm old enough to understand that. But I never want the words to ever come out of my mouth, you don't understand because you're not a parent, because I think it's the most condescending, offensive phrase that somebody can say to you.
You're on The Burt Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
The lovely Joanna.
Yeah.
No, this is
nervous.
Don't be nervous.
This is big, what we're talking about.
This is a big week for Joanna.
Neither do we.
Why is it a big week?
Oh, I do know what this is about. Yeah.
When do you know too?
Yeah.
I do know.
Yeah, if you read my emails. So
why am I not copied on this email?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because it's about you.
Oh, okay.
So this Friday, what is important, Joanna, about this Friday morning?
Well, this Friday is Running of the Brides.
Mm-hmm. And you're newly engaged.
I am.
Yep. So Joanna is a freshly engaged woman.
Yes.
Her and Jason are going to be happily married in 4 years. And
it's not 4 years.
No, three and a half.
I think an important question is, are you the kind of woman that buys your wedding dress before you ever get engaged, or are you don't have your wedding dress yet, right?
No, I do not have my wedding dress yet.
Okay. Because there's some women, I think, that do that.
Without a doubt. I was asking
if Joanna did that.
I have tried on a dress once before at last running of the brides, just because I've never tried on a wedding dress before, but no, never purchased one.
Okay.
So Running of the Brides is at Filene's Basement. It's something that we do every single year. It's taking place this Friday. Anybody can come down to it.
Yes.
Basically it works like this. Everybody lines up. People are going to start lining up on Thursday.
The day before in their tents and sleeping bags.
They make a tailgate party out of it. Then at 8 o'clock a whistle blows and you run in and you tear up the bridal section. You grab your dress and you find as many dresses as you can in your size, and then you try them on and you trade them and you look and it, and I know wedding dresses, they're beaded
and the way Filene's Basement does, and the reason people camp out, if you're not familiar with Filene's Basement or the Running of the Brides, the reason people camp out the night before is because the gowns are only there for one day. So they ship them in on Thursday night. They put them on the racks overnight Thursday night. Then when we're on air and we announce the opening of the doors, then you run in, you get your bridal gowns. They are not set up in any kind of order because they simply don't have time to put them in order.
Right.
So they have all different sizes. They have all different styles. And like, you know, Jeff said, there's some beading, there's some not. There's all different types of styles and designers. But they are designer dresses that normally go for thousands of dollars that you can get for hundreds.
Absolutely. And I've been looking at wedding gowns and I know how expensive they can be. I mean, you put on a dress and you look at that tag and you try not to start sweating profusely because you're like, there is no way I can afford this $3,000 gown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is awesome that they do have them on sale at $300, $400.
Right.
And it's an amazing, amazing deal.
The prices, all the dresses are either marked $250, $500, or $700.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And the original prices are $900 to $10,000.
Right. So these are not, you know, like discounted made, you know, gowns.
Right.
They are the designer gowns that are going for hundreds of dollars.
So here's the deal. Now, there's an initial rush. Everybody gets something. And then all throughout the day, as dresses get returned to the rack, you can come in all day and buy them.
Correct.
But Joanna, you would think that right after she got engaged, she was so excited for this to happen, the first phone call would be to her family or to her mom or her brothers or something like that. It wasn't.
You know.
It was to me. It was, Jeff, how do I get into this Filene's thing early?
Well, she's smart.
Of course.
She's smart. She's trying to save money. It affects your budget.
In the background, I could hear Jason going, did you say yes? Who are you calling? What are you doing? It's important for a bride. And Joanna is a hardworking member of our team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only fair that Joanna gets that opportunity to enter in Filene's Basement early.
Right.
Wow. I'm excited.
That's like a huge plus because you've got to go through the racks and look at exactly what type of dress you want. Like if you want an A-line dress, a full dress.
Right.
But it's Jeff that is saying this to you. So you know it's not that easy.
So
I should stop being excited.
So don't be excited yet. It's an opportunity to go in first.
Jeff
always likes to make up games.
Of course,
I'm still 10-year-old at heart. My thought was, you know, we always do contests and promotions and for front of the line and take the person who's in the front of the line and if they can do something, get them in an hour early and all this stuff. So we can't just give this away and just go, here, Joanna, it's
listeners
yours.
Would be mad.
So I came up with an idea this weekend and I emailed everybody on the show and they all had their ideas and they sent them all back and we placed them all in a hat. And we just think that from now until the running of the brides, you should just accomplish some tasks. And we're certainly not going to ask you to do anything that we wouldn't do, but we're not the ones who want to get into Filene's early.
Right.
Right.
So we've put all these tasks in a hat and we'll draw one out every show. And then the next day you have to perform that task. If you perform it successfully, then you move on to the next task. And if you perform all four, then 6 a.m., you're at Filene's Basement, bagel in one hand, looking at dresses with your mom or your bridesmaid or whoever comes along.
She's not going near a dress with a bagel.
Sorry.
And I was going to, Jeff would, but.
Maybe a cereal bar.
I'm hoping, because there's more women on the show than men, that you ladies were nice enough to put some easy task in here, right?
Well, I haven't seen the task, so I'm ready to.
Oh, great.
I'm concerned on what they are if Jeff made them up.
I'm drawing the first one. The first task, Joanna, and this is what you have to do tomorrow. This is something that we've all done. Okay? We're not asking you to do something that you.
We would never ask you to do something we haven't done.
Okay.
By tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on our website, there must be a photograph of you. This photograph of you must be taken within 30 seconds of you waking up tomorrow morning.
Oh, no.
And we've all.
You remember the Bird Show wake up pictures?
Oh, what? How great they are.
And somehow they're still in the Google sphere, which is so fantastic. But yeah, and you can't do anything differently tonight. You can't like go in full makeup and just lay in your back and not, you know. It has to be authentic. You go to bed however you go to bed and you wake up and you can't even, it, like you said, 30 seconds. The camera on the nightstand, you can't do anything. Comb your fingers through your, nothing.
No turning on the lights, nothing.
You can't turn on the light. You just.
Jen's, I remember mine, I seriously took my camera, and my alarm goes off. I never snooze or anything because Jessica's a light sleeper. Mm-hmm. So my alarm goes off, and within 60 seconds, I'm upstairs in my bathroom, and I put the camera right in front of, first thing I do is brush my teeth. It was like leaning up against the little cup that holds my toothbrush, so I couldn't miss it, took the picture.
little giraffe cup.
I remember Jen left hers on her nightstand because when she did it is when she was married at the time, and you could see her ex-husband's legs sticking out from under the bed sheet. Like it was,
and I snuck out from the bed with Katie so I wouldn't wake her up, and but I had no lights on, and I felt my way into the bathroom where the on the counter was the camera and took it before I turned the light on.
My camera was just in the bed with me because I was just too lazy to get up and do it.
Yeah,
so my arms just
so however and is
Wendy,
for you. Yeah,
Wendy doesn't have anyone, so she could take it right in bed.
I know.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, thanks for rubbing that one in. I won't be looking for a wedding dress on Friday or ever.
So seriously, within seconds of waking up.
Oh, no.
We've all done it.
I'm starting to think if that $3,000 dress is worth paying.
$3,000? You could get a $10,000
dress. $10,000
dress.
Right, just yeah, for I'll do one it. Picture.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
I'm already engaged, so I'm not trying to impress anybody.
And
so.
he's seen it. So.
So he sees me, what I look like in the morning.
Yeah, so he doesn't care.
Yeah, he does not care.
All right, I got it.
Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. You going to do it?
Yes.
Oh, it's our joy.
All right, good job. Nicely
done. You
got this.
Listen, it's the Bird Show.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.